Union Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. If you're curious about some of the things that you think you know or that you don't know, and we're talking about things that every Christian should know, and I could broaden that, every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, these are things that we need to know. And the headline that I was reading just before the news break, the blog, is rapidly destroying the free speech and the free press and democracy itself. It goes on to say, there's the unprecedented and nakedly illegal mass lawfare campaign against Donald J. Trump in an effort to take him out of the coming election and cast him into prison. And there's the rampant inflation and rapidly degrading economy and the skyrocketing violent crime in all of our major cities and the mass hysteria transgender movement seducing countless kids into being grievously mutilated surgically for life. And most recently, there's the explosion of the anti-Semitism across America, courtesy of rage-fueled Marxist activists who, while knowing literally nothing about anything, pretend they care about the oppressed populations around the globe, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, most are not aware today of the things that's behind this movement with what I call the Islamic jihadists wanting to destroy. They're saying death to America, death to Israel, and they're saying from the river to the sea, they're talking about destroying the nation of Israel. When you go back and study history, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find that the Grand Mufti, the Islamic jihadist leader out of Jerusalem at the time of Hitler's regime, joined with Hitler, sent about 10,000 of their Islamic jihadist warriors to assist Hitler in destroying the Jewish people in Nazi Germany in the mid-40s. Ladies and gentlemen, most are not aware of that, and these airheads, these useful idiots that are picketing and demonstrating and wanting to destroy buildings and property at our universities, it is spreading now to shopping centers, it's spreading to hotels, motels, any place where people can gather. And yet we're finding in local scenarios and state scenarios where they're passing knee-jerk legislation to curtail our freedom of speech. In fact, the First Amendment providing freedom of speech and the religious liberties now in the crosshairs, I believe, the Biden administration as never before. Did you know? We're talking about things that every Christian, every conservative ought to know. Did you know that H.R. 6090 passed in the U.S. House and is now on the Senate desk? And if passed, if signed into law, Joe Biden says he would sign it into law. And if he does, ladies and gentlemen, it would bring about censorship of our religious freedom of speech in America as nothing else could do and could possibly handle. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about what is taking place with that law. With that law, ladies and gentlemen, it would make it illegal for a person to say some things, preach some things, teach some things in America that now, especially by Christians in our nation today, that are now considered biblical, theologically true, and yet at the same time it would become illegal to preach and teach and to say those things simply because of the law that they're doing now. I'm looking at a headline, Censorship, a Global Pandemic. I'm reading this now, May 15, 2024. Palestine will be free, chant the protesters, from the river to the sea. Some say that it's called genocide, another Holocaust, elimination of Israel and all Jews. So should the chant be illegal? The House of Representatives just voted to make it illegal at universities. Both Republicans and Democrats voted for the bill. Listen to this. Canadian politicians even go further. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau wants people advocating genocide sentenced to life in prison. A law like this gives the politicians the chance to criminalize his peaceful opponents, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that law, if it becomes, that bill, if it becomes law, will simply make everything that you and I say from the standpoint of the biblical statements, it will make what we say illegal. In fact, I talked about this the other day on this broadcast. It is called Who Killed Jesus? Who Killed Jesus? In fact, in that particular bill, ladies and gentlemen, that was passed by the House in H.R. 6090, in that particular bill, ladies and gentlemen, it makes it illegal for a Christian from the pulpit to state that the Jewish people killed Jesus. Now listen. Jesus laid down his life and can take it up again, he said. No man taketh my life, I lay it down. If I lay it down, I can take it up again. Yes, the group as a whole were responsible for crucifying Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, if a pastor were to take the position that it was the Jewish people, and some say that, and I think mistakenly so, yet in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 7 through 9 in particular, when Jesus returns, the Jewish people see Josiah, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will see the Lord Jesus and recognize him as Yeshua the Messiah, and will recognize that the one that we have slain, now they will receive him and be entered into the millennial reign with the church age saints. Ladies and gentlemen, they said, when the pilot was speaking, said, we know that this prosecution against Jesus has been brought as a result of envy. And the Jewish people said, let his blood be upon our heads and the heads of our children. So all of that is true. But when you take the total picture, you look at Acts chapter 4, you find that Peter in his message talks about everyone being responsible, Jews, the Gentiles, the Roman government, the Roman soldiers, etc., etc. But the point that I make is it will be putting into the crosshairs what preachers and teachers might say, Christian preachers and teachers might say theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, that will be putting Christians in a position they can be persecuted and prosecuted based on federal law. If that is signed, it is very, very dangerous, and it's urgent that Christians, conservatives, get on the telephone, call your senator, say, do not vote yes on that knee-jerk anti-Semitism bill, that anti-Semitism law. It is absolutely unneeded. It is absolutely critical that Christians understand the danger of it if it becomes law in our land. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning. Or afternoon now.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to tell you, you are so on point because this is crazy. I don't know if you heard about, I think he was on Crazy Joe Jones, CNN, Fox News, and they won't release what he was doing or saying because he had lost his mind, I think, at one time.
Well, what you're talking about is the report when they were doing the investigation by the appointed counsel, which the name was HUR, H-U-R, the report after months and months and months about whether he should be prosecuted for holding classified documents that he had stolen as a senator, that he still had some in his garage, some in his Penn State University office, and others that he had in his home and other parts of his home. I think three or four or five different locations he had classified documents that he could not declassify because he was not president at the time he stole them. And yet Herr stated that even though he was guilty, even though he'd stolen these documents, even though they were classified, that no court would be able to prosecute him because he would be viewed as an elderly man with a lack of memory and would not, therefore should not be prosecuted. Now, if that's the case, he should not be running for president. If he is so weak-minded, if he is so cognitively depleted, he ought to be running for president. That's my position.
Yes, that is so crazy, though. That's the way this woke. I believe, really, I do believe, after this first debate, they're going to put somebody else in there. Either Hillary Clinton or Obama's wife.
Yeah, I've said for 3 years now that Joe Biden will not be the real ultimate candidate on the November ballot of this year. In fact, I do not believe, and I'll say this openly, I do not believe there will be a live person-to-person debate between Joe Biden and President Trump. I don't believe that'll happen. I believe that is show candy. I believe they will then modulate their prerequisites as to how that debate will be carried out. And I believe something will come up where Biden is going to have to carry out his part of the debate by screen rather than in person. I believe there'll be something that they will require as the prerequisite for them to debate Donald Trump. Picture, if you will, President Trump is standing on the platform and Joe Biden is there by way of a large plasma screen, and Joe Biden will have, any time a question is asked, then his handlers will stand with show cards giving him the answer. He will simply read the answers. He will not face Donald J. Trump personally on a live stage.
He's going to be in the basement.
they might let him out of the basement just like they did for the State of the Union address, where they had him so juiced up he was able to stand for 2 hours and speak. But Joe Biden will not be the candidate. I believe, as you said, and I've stated it for about 3 years, I believe it's going to be Hillary Clinton or Gavin Newsom, maybe even Barack Obama's wife, but I think the first candidate possibility will be Hillary Clinton. She's come out of the closet. She's been, for the past 6 months, talking against Trump and how that she could beat him in a race, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I believe that Joe Biden will not be the actual candidate on the ballot. They will say something will happen that he's cognitively depleted. They'll say something has happened with his health. But I believe the superdelegates will override the regular delegates at the Democratic National Convention and will replace Joe Biden. That's just my position. And as I've said many times, I'm not a prophet, no son of a prophet, as Amos said in the little book of Amos. But I believe it deserves our understanding. Listen, Kenneth, I believe that every Christian, every conservative, every patriot needs to understand these things, and that will unravel the puzzle as to what's happening in America, what's happening around the globe, and why it's taking place. I believe that we ought not to pass legislation on a knee-jerk basis and call it an anti-Semitism bill, because it engulfs our total freedom of speech. And what has happened on a national level in House Resolution 6090, what's just taken place in the state of Florida with the governor signing a anti-discrimination bill, a hate bill. Kenneth, I'll read this and get your response. Governor signs bill that targets hate crimes into law following anti-Semitic incidents in Florida. Dateline Tampa, Florida, April the 27th. Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law Thursday bill that targets hate crimes following a series of recent anti-Semitic incidents across Florida. This law applies to all religions and ethnicities. That's pretty broad now. But the bill sponsors decided it was necessary after several anti-Semitic reports. Quote, at a point that you start attacking individuals for their religion, you start intimidating specific individuals, you start harassing certain individuals, then that becomes problematic. We in the state of Florida are not going to tolerate that type of activity, this article states. So, Kenneth, this bill is pretty broad, state of Florida bill, and yet on top of that very broad, somehow, some way, inflicting a restriction on our freedom of speech, that the governor signed. I'm not trying to throw the governor out, the baby out with the bathwater, but I think this is the worst thing he's done in the time that he's been in office for the state of Florida. What are your thoughts? Should we have more laws that control how we speak?
No, sir. That's our First Amendment right.
That's exactly right. I can say things that you wouldn't like, or you could say some things I wouldn't like, but that does not mean that we need to have laws that will restrict your speech or my speech. Now, the Supreme Court ruled many, many, many years ago that you cannot scream fire in an elevator because there's that necessity of limiting that free speech so that it does not harm in that fashion. But outside of that, I have said recently, in the past several days, I've turned on television. I've watched Robert De Niro on that garbage, what is the Five that comes on, the View that comes on with vulgarities and cursing God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's his freedom of speech. I don't like it. I don't want to hear it, but that's his freedom of speech. And I believe that our freedom of speech is the main thing that Christians and conservatives ought to be concerned about at this very moment. And so, Kenneth, it deserves your prayer, our prayers, that we keep praying, asking God to intervene and to protect us from the evils that's on the horizon, that multitudes of Christians and conservatives do not even understand, have not unwrapped it as taken the peel off an onion to realize what's at the truth of it. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you and keep looking up. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question and comments, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood. Are you aware of the Barna report? The Barna Group did a report, and they said only 1% of Americans actually understand what's going on down to the core of the issues. And I'm going to have to agree with Kenneth. He calls a lot, and he says, you're right on. Well, I'm going to stand behind him. You're right on. And you get what's really happening. And if I was to take the listeners of this show, the amount of members in First Conservative, it's probably 1%. But I will say it's the most well-versed, well-educated group around. But Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for delving into the core of what's going on in America. And you're right. It's like peeling an onion. You got to peel the lies off to finally get to the truth.
Brother, you're exactly right. And I am gravely concerned right now for our state, for the city of Jacksonville. There are two or three things that come into play, Tom, that I believe our listeners need to understand. On the ballot for November, we've got six amendments, two of which, Amendment 3 and Amendment 4, will make make the state of Florida the murder capital of the world by way of abortion, and will make the state of Florida the dumb and dumber capital of the nation by removing any restraints on marijuana as a recreational drug. It will destroy our state. It will destroy the commerce that we have in our state. It will destroy families. It will destroy the economic base of our homes. It will cause every crime to escalate. It will cause families to disintegrate because of spending money on drugs and having a drugged out, dumb and dumber society, as I call it. What are your thoughts in relationship? Are you familiar with those amendments, and especially Amendment 3 and 4, the one that will legalize abortion right up to the day of delivery, and the one that will legalize marijuana, taking off all restraints that marijuana could be sold? I believe that's the reason, and they've known this since November 2016, when the legalization of marijuana for medical use went into effect, and we found the vape shops and the pot shops on every street corner getting ready for this open Pandora's box with the sale of recreational marijuana. What are your thoughts? Should we be concerned? Should Christians and conservatives say no?
We need to look at Colorado, California. These ultra left wings, they've destroyed those states, and liberalism and the feel good mentality is just too strong, Dr. Youngblood. You know, it's eventually the money, just like these universities where these people are demonstrating against Israel. Well, Qatar Airlines is pumping millions into Colombia. And the money finally overwhelms. That's what corrupts our political leaders. There's just not enough a bulk work that can stand against it. It eventually overwhelms anything.
Absolutely.
But we know scripture tells us what's going to happen in the end. And we're at the end, Dr. Youngblood. I've heard you say there's no revival going to come and straighten us out. And you said Donald Trump was just a stopgap. We should have really took advantage of that 4 years, and we did. There's a lot of good judges that he did. But eventually, right's going to become wrong, and wrong is going to become right. But at least we got you, Dr. Youngblood, that's standing up with the watchman on the wall that's telling people, and I'm sure it's affecting some people that said, you know, he's right. I've had enough. I'm just not going to go that way. But the problem is there's not enough Gene Youngbloods out there. That's
well,
the
Tom,
problem.
I am humbled by your statements. I'm thankful for them. And it's my prayer each and every day. I pray before the broadcast, ask God to give the words and the hearer to hear and with understanding, that it will motivate Christians and conservatives to stand up for truth, realizing the day and hour in which we're living in. Tom, brother, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and we need to keep looking up, realizing our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Raymond on the line. Raymond, give you the question to comment, please.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm calling back once again. I had a minute, and I was listening, and just had something I wanted to share with your listeners. We had a conversation yesterday at length about the hate crimes law, and I guess you were talking about today, you know, did you know? So, did you know? I wanted to throw in one more thing. I found the article written by a former city councilman and former chair of the Republican Party of Duval County, who's the current leader of the Duval Republican Assembly, by the name of Robin Lum. And he has written a very detailed article in an online blog called Jack's Today. And so I shared that on the Let's Face the Issues Facebook page and wanted to encourage your listeners to go read the detailed article. And that's, you know, shareable. So it's something that they can share on social media or text the link or something or email it to friends, their pastors or whatnot. And wanted to encourage everybody to do that. And I also wanted to say, I noticed if anybody's, I don't know if all the listeners are aware, but if you go to ilovethetruth.com, oftentimes I listen live right from my phone while I'm out working. But when you click on your program, there's the links are there to share these radio broadcast even after the fact, like, you know, on demand. So you can go back and get the conversations from these radio programs, or go back and share that to help people be aware of what's going on, but particularly
Absolutely.
With that hate crime bill.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, Raymond. In fact, they can go to FCBCAT.jax.com and go to the section there which says radio, click the button, and go to all of the blogs that are listed there also, just as with ilovethetruth.com. So these broadcasts each and every day can be listened to at any point, any time, not just on the day that they're broadcast. And so it's my prayer that people join in. But let's get back to something real quick with the time that we have left and talk about the legislation that's being attempted to push through here in Jacksonville, which is 2024-0334, which is the so-called hate crime bill. And that hate crime, and for our listeners, Raymond, I don't know of any bill. I've watched legislation down through the years many, many times. Had the opportunity to be part of the drafter of some higher education bills for the state of Florida and go through the drafting of bills process. I've never seen a bill written like this, and it's written at the behest of six city council people that have put it into the hopper, and our general counsel's office, the one that wrote the bill. They should have better, as attorneys, they should have better sense than that. Everything about it is anti-constitutional. They take an addition to the HRO, I call it the Human Reprobate Ordinance that was passed in 2017. They take the Human Reprobate Ordinance. It is codifying the approval by the government of the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ lifestyle, and this bill is designed to squelch, to stop, to criminalize Christians, pastors, preachers, churches. Listen, and for our benefit, benefit of the listeners, you may be aware of it, but in this bill, proposed bill, it adds to the sign ordinance, that if a church mm-hmm. has a sign, and on that sign it says something that's antithetical to that which is being promulgated by the LGBTQ, that's the sponsor and the pushers of this bill, those in the sodomite lifestyle. Picture, for example, if your church, our church, put a sign up, said all sodomites are going to die and go to a devil's hell, and I've had that on order sign before. That is simply saying what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says. If I were to say that all Muslims are lost and going to hell unless they repent and accept Jesus, that's true. But then based on the wording of this new proposed legislation, it could put us in jeopardy because we're saying something that goes into the hate crime law. It's designed to protect the sodomites, the LGBTQ community. It's designed to protect the Islamic jihad. That's the two major things that this new legislation that's being proposed today will protect. And now we've got laws statewide, we've got laws, federal laws, that protect every human being regardless of your sexual orientation or your gender identity. Raymond, we've got about a minute left. Phil, take the final minute and say to our listeners what needs to be said about this proposed bill.
Well, I'd like to say that, you know, if I'm walking down the street and I get attacked, if you attack me and physically assault me, it's a crime. So why should I give a special extra protection for a Muslim or a homosexual? So if you get attacked, it's a hate crime, and we're going to punish you three times more because you attacked a homosexual or a Muslim. Same thing with, with this year at my church, 75th anniversary. We're planning a fall tent revival in our field. So the new ordinance, if the evangelist comes and preaches against homosexuality and somebody over at the store across the street hears it, then it's a hate crime. So go to the Let's Face the Issues page, look at that article, share it, and contact City Hall, jacksonville.gov, I think it is now, and contact City Council. Thank you, Dr.
Raymond, I agree, and I'm glad you made that. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, I suggest God that bless. Every listener, that you get on the telephone and you jam the lines, if you please. Call your city councilman. And it's not a matter of courtesy. It's not a matter of saying, please, please. It's a matter of saying, don't you dare vote to approve anything that circumvents my constitutional liberties, my religious liberties, my freedom of speech. Call your city councilman and say, son, if you vote yes on this, we're going to put you out of office at the earliest convenience. We need to recognize that we, the people, are in control, should be in control of the government, city government, state government, and federal government. We need to take a stand today as Christians and be salt and light before it's eternally too late. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as once again we face the issues.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double.